Move over Bill Gates and Warren Buffett. The world's richest man now is Carlos Slim. The Mexican telecoms tycoon is the first person from a developing country to take top spot on the Forbes billionaires list. But there are plenty of other billionaires on that list from countries like China, India, and Brazil. Here in the U.S., there's a long tradition of the rich giving their money away to a good cause. So what about billionaires in other countries? Musa Okwanga is with the Institute for Philanthropy in London. He says philanthropy is on the rise in developing nations.
If you look at someone like Anil Agarwal, for example, he recently pledged $1 billion to fund a university in India. So large-scale giving does exist in countries like India. If you look at China, Li Ka-shing, I think, pledged $30 million to the earthquake around the time of the Beijing Olympics. So there is big giving in these nations. I think the reason that you don't see giving on the scale yet of the US is a variety of factors, one of which is they don't have the same philanthropic infrastructures. If you look at the US, You have a very thriving civil society sector. You have the Chronicle of Philanthropy. You have evaluation. You have groups of people advising philanthropists how to give. You don't have the same infrastructures in places like India and China.
So would say it's actually harder to give away your money in a place like India?
I think structurally there are issues. If you look at, for example, let's take Mexico, where Carlos Slim, has acquired a great deal of wealth. One of the things that can drive a thriving civil society is tax deductions for organizations. Now, in Mexico, about half the civil society organizations don't have tax deductible systems available. That's one aspect.
So that helps to encourage donations.
It helps encourage giving. It helps to, if you know that you're going to give a large sum of money to charity and the state will provide another, sum on top of that through tax deductions, then that's great. Another thing to look at, I think, is the role of the state. A lot of citizens look to the state to make provision, and they might look to the state for partnerships. So somewhere like China, for example, where I could name the example of Laura Chen and the Zishan Foundation, she works very much in public health and hepatitis. If you're working in China and you're giving money away, the system of governance is such that they prefer donors to work in partnership with them. Whereas in the US, for example, you might just go and start something independently of the state. So there are different bureaucracies or hurdles to engage.
In many of these developing countries, places like Brazil, places like Mexico, you do have a small number of very wealthy people and a very large number of extraordinarily poor people. There's a lot that's said about the missing middle class in some of these countries. Are some of the wealthy in developing countries trying to address that inequality?
Very, very much so. I mean, the organization where I work, the Institute for Philanthropy, we advise wealthy donors from all over the world on their giving. And one of the things that we look at in particular is inequality and systemic change. So we get donors from around the world who'll come to look at ways to galvanize, a middle class through entrepreneurship. This week, they're actually in Rwanda. So we are definitely looking at redressing that balance.
Just curious, with the number of clients that you deal with from around the world, do any of them come with unusual, kind of quirky requests about how they want to spend their money, some way that really surprised you?
What surprised me, we wrote a book with a lot of the donors a couple of years ago called The Philanthropy Workshop Innovations, which basically was a series of personal accounts of the giving by philanthropists from around the world. And one person approached us and he said, well, I really care about fish. And we were like, well, that was a bit, fish is a bit strange, right? Who cares about, fish? But his point was that he was a marine biologist. He was also someone from a very wealthy family. And he said, well, in 15 years, my daughter will not be able to eat cod. Cod fish stocks are decimated. And, the world is losing a really important source of wild protein. And he was saying, what we really need to do is encourage sustainability. So what seemed quite a strange request all of a sudden was quite forensic, because this guy has a doctorate in marine biology. He has wealth to affect change. And so he went about thinking, well, how can we bring this about? Do we form an advocacy platform? Do we fund better research? Do we look at different European centres of excellence that can look at fisheries and sustainability and fish stocks? And so we're really looking at making traction in that area. So, he came through the door talking about fish, and all of a sudden we're all converts. We're thinking, well, this is great. He's onto something.
Musa Okwanga is the Director for Press at the Institute for Philanthropy. He joined us from London. Thank you.
Pleasure's mine. Thank you very much.